have guessed that it's nine letters in the word attitude and that we'd have exactly nine kids for the children's sermon tonight. Huh? You think that God isn't in control of things? We know God is in control of things, right? He governs everything with His mercy and with His grace. Earlier tonight, I sneezed. And Lee and Judy were standing there, and both of them immediately said, "Bless you," or "God bless you," right? It's more than just a common courtesy. It's more than just a habit that we get ourselves into. I mean, I could be somewhere when I don't even know the person, and they sneeze, and immediately I want to say, "Bless you," or "God bless you." But now I get a little hesitant in our society, because I might offend them if I say, "God bless you." Now, for some people, it's just a matter of superstition. You know, in other words, they sneeze and you want to keep the devil from capturing their soul. God bless you. But in the 6th century, Pope Gregory VII, the Great, when there was a bubonic plague going on and devouring the masses, he said, when someone sneezes, coughs, which is a sign of the plague, you need to bless them. You say, "God bless them," because that's the only hope that they have that they aren't going to die. In our gospel reading for tonight, Jesus says, "Bless you," before anybody even sneezes. The Sermon on the Mount, which is preceded by the overture to the symphony, what we call the Beatitudes, the blessings. What does it mean to be blessed? Give me Jesus. You can have all the rest. Just give me Jesus. When you have the presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in your life, you are blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They're God-reliant, not self-reliant. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be blessed? Come, live in the light. Shine with the joy and the love of the Lord. We are called to be light for the kingdom, to live in the freedom of the city of God. We are called, Micah 6:8, to act with justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another, to walk humbly with God. God bless you. Some of you know the name Momita. She's Hindu. She's from India. Her husband was in his third year of residency. They have a son that's about 8, 9, 10 years old. She would be working at the desk in the lobby as we would pass through the men's Bible study to go to Charlie's former site by St. Mary's Hospital. And little by little, because she worked there and she saw the men and we were having Bible study and praying, little by little, she started to acquaint me with her story. We would visit and say hi. It was kind of small talk. But little by little, I learned about some of the challenges that her husband was losing his position, third year residency, at Mayo and needed another job. How were they going to pay their bills, etc.? And because she saw that we were men of prayer, that we were actually studying the Bible and praying, she wanted to know a little bit more about this Christian faith. And she said, "Will you pray for me? Will you bless me?" And so right there in the lobby, I placed my hand upon her forehead. And I said, "I'll pray for you." And I prayed that Jesus would watch over her, would guide her and her family, would give them His presence and His peace. And then I marked her with the cross. and said Amen. And Momita said, "You bless me." I said, "Yes, I did." And then she said, "What was it that you marked on my forehead?" And I said, "The cross of Jesus Christ. You asked me to pray for you. There's no better name than the name of Jesus to pray. You asked me to bless you. I gave you the greatest blessing of all, because it was on the cross that Jesus died for the sins of the world to save us. That's what I gave you. I gave you the blessing of God's love, and I placed the mark of His love, the cross of His Son, upon you." That's what we do, the blessed ones. We pass the blessing on. We point to Jesus. The light shines in us and through us as the gift of salvation to the world. We're called, and those who are called are sent, blessed to bless. Yesterday, I went to check on a woman named Verna. Verna, in 1968, had open-heart surgery. She was born with a hole in her heart. They repaired about a 50-cent piece, hole in her heart. She and her husband, last July 28th, celebrated 70 years of marriage. Verna and Vernon. Well, Verna's health is deteriorating. The heart is wearing out. The lungs are wearing out. She was in ICU. I went there on Tuesday, and her husband Vernon was able to be brought there from Homestead. And we had scripture and prayer together. And then I went in yesterday to check on her again. They were just in the process of moving her out of ICU onto the main floor. And then I asked the nurse about her status, because she wasn't conscious. And she said, "She's just going to be on comfort care. And on Monday, good Lord willing, she'll be transferred back to Homestead where her husband is, where she'll be on hospice until she surrendered back to her Creator, to her Savior and her Lord Jesus Christ." So it took about 45 minutes by the time they moved her out of ICU and we traveled down the halls and the elevator and made it way over to Damatila. That was a long ways. And then it took about, more time as they were getting her situated in her room. And I just waited. And then after they were all done and they all left and she was alone in the room, I went in and I read scripture to her. And I prayed with her. And I reminded her of the promises of God that we have in the Word of God. And then I marked her with the cross and gave her the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you His peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, Verna isn't a member of Emmanuel. I've got plenty of things on my plate. Why in the world would I have been at the hospital marking her with the cross of Christ and blessing her? Why do we do that? Because Jesus tells us to do that. We are blessed to be a blessing. Those of you who are reading through the Bible this year, you know that we've made it through Genesis, halfway through Exodus, halfway through Matthew's Gospel, right? One of the things you've noticed in reading Genesis is that the word blessing is really important. In fact, what happens is that after God creates everything good on the seventh day, God made the seventh day holy. He rested, and it says He blessed that day. And then He chose in chapter 12, Abraham and Sarah, when they were 75 and 65. So don't tell me you're retired. 75 and 65 years old, God says, "I think you're probably about ready for me to call you into ministry." No spending 6 months in Florida or Arizona or someplace, right? No. Ministry. And did you hear what God says in chapter 12? I'm going to bless you. And not just when you sneeze. I'm going to bless you. You know why? Because I'm going to give you a child of promise, Messiah. Through your seed, all the world, the earth, is going to be blessed. Blessings were important because blessings are performative words. They're causative words. They're not, well, maybe, we'll see. No, when you spoke the blessing, it was a promise that was enacted and fulfilled. It was a word that created the happening. You remember Jacob and Esau? Esau was the firstborn, was supposed to get the blessing. But Jacob and his mother cheated Esau out of it. You know that story? And Esau was just weeping. He said, give me the blessing. And the dad says, I can't retract it. It's already gone out of my mouth. And then you get to the end of the book of Genesis, and Jacob, who had been grabbing most of his life, he's there with failing eyesight, just like his father Isaac had, and it's time to bless the 12 tribes of Israel, and he gets to the point of blessing Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh was the firstborn. Joseph knows that the old man's going to have trouble seeing. So what does he do? He puts Manasseh, the firstborn, right there by dad's right hand, the blessing hand, right? The major blessing. And he puts Ephraim, the younger one, over here by the left hand, the lesser blessing. You know what Jacob did? He crossed his hands. I mean, it doesn't surprise us, does it? He crossed his hands. And he thought he was going to give the blessing to the younger boy, just like he was a younger one. But we read the whole book of Genesis, and according to Genesis, who is it that the blessing is passed down through? Leah's fourth-born son, Judah. You see, God is in charge of the blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you. God-reliant entirely, not self-reliant. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. The blessed know that they have no hope at all apart from the mercy of God given in Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Not just when you sneeze. Now, we've been following Matthew's gospel, and we know that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptizer to fulfill all righteousness, to do it God's way. And then he was in the wilderness, tempted, tested for 40 days. And then it says that when Jesus heard that John the Baptizer was arrested by Herod Antipas, that he traveled. He withdrew by advancing. Remember? He withdrew by advancing. He went into the stronghold, Galilee of the Gentiles, which was the stronghold of Herod Antipas. And then everywhere Jesus goes, he's saying, keep repenting. The kingdom of heaven is in your face. Everywhere he went, preaching the gospel and healing everyone. And he called his disciples, follow me. And immediately they followed. So what are you going to do when you've called somebody? Well, you're going to give them an ordination sermon. And that's what he does. The Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, the first of five teaching sections in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is teaching his called, christened followers. He goes up to a mountain. He sits down, the posture of preaching and teaching. And once he's done that, he opens his mouth and he says, "Blessed are you poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven." It's a kingdom of God attitude. It's the mind of Christ. It's where we're able to see through the eyes of Jesus. Blessed are you when you mourn, because you have the hope of resurrection unto eternal life. Blessed are you when you wage peace and everyone else is stocking up their weapons. You've got the Prince of Peace as your Lord. Blessed are you when you're hungry, when you're thirsty, not for a cold one or a nice Dagwood sandwich, but for God's will to be done, for the righteousness of God to come in all of its fullness. Martin Luther said that the first beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," sets the tone for all the rest. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said they are ethics of the cross. That's what Paul is trying to say in his first chapter of the letter to the church at Corinth. It's not going to make sense to the people of the world. They're going to think you're nuts. The cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, the power of God. Consider your calling, Paul says, to the Corinthians, to us tonight. Consider your calling. Do you think God chose you because you've got a PhD? Do you think God chose you because you've got the greatest wealth in the world? Because of your position, your prestige? God chooses what's foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chooses what's weak in the world to shame the strong. God chooses what is low and despised to bring to nothing those who think they're something. So what are you going to boast about, Paul says? One thing. Jesus. Just give me Jesus. That's all we've got to boast about, because Paul says that Jesus, crucified and risen, is our righteousness, our sanctification. He's our redemption and our wisdom. If you're going to boast, boast about Jesus. The kingdom attitude. It's 100%. It's everything. Let me tell you a story. The year was 410 AD, and the Goths, Germanic ancestry, were attacking and invading Rome, 410 AD. And they were ransacking the wealthy homes, looking for treasures, valuables, gold, silver. They came to this large house where Marcella lived. Marcella was an old woman dressed in nursing clothing, the clothing of a nurse. And they came in, these soldiers and the leader, and they said, "We want your valuables." She looked at them strangely. "We want your valuables. We want the gold cups. We want the silver goblets. We want the expensive vases. We want all your valuables." And Marcella said, "I don't have any valuables of that kind." "Yeah, right," the leader said. "This is the biggest house in the area. Of course you've got valuables, and we are here to claim them." Marcella said, "You've got to understand, when I inherited this house, I turned it into a hospital for the elderly and for the poor, the invalids." "Nobody who has money," the leader says, "cares about the poor. We want the treasures, we want them now." And so he sent all of his soldiers ransacking the house, from room to room, searching for the treasures. And the looters came back empty-handed. While they were out looting, Marcella remembered. She remembered when she was a small girl growing up in that house. They had expensive vases. They had expensive portraits. They had gold cups and silver goblets. And her mother would be wearing expensive clothing, decked in jewels. Marcella remembered. that when the poor came knocking at the door, that they were always sent away empty. And Marcella made a vow, a promise to God, that when she inherited her parents' wealth, it was going to be used for the kingdom of God to serve the poor. Well, the looters came back empty-handed, and the leader pulled out the sword from its sheath, and he held it to the neck of Marcella. Give me your valuables now, or I will bleed it out of you. Marcella said, you've been through the house. You've seen all the cots and beds. You've seen the elderly. You've seen the poor. If you kill me, no one will be here to take care of them. I want your valuables, the leader said. She said, you've seen my valuables. The poor are my people. They are the treasure that God has given to me. The leader looked at the soldiers and he said, move out. We've got other places to visit. And as they were walking, one of the soldiers looked at the leader and said, she said that they were Christians. Who are these Christians? And the leader paused, and then he said, they are the strangest sort I've ever met. I've never seen anyone like them before. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Rejoice and be glad when people persecute you and utter all kinds of falsities for the name of Jesus. Rejoice and be glad. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You hunger, you thirst for God's will to be done. You see the face of Jesus in the needs of your neighbors, and you take what God has given you and you pour it out in the name of Jesus as a service to your neighbor. You walk in love. You point to Jesus. The light shines through you. Blessed are you. In our gospel for tonight, Jesus says, God bless you. Before you even sneeze. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is in your face. Amen. We rise as we are able. Our hymn of the day is